Okay, let's get into Parshas Kisisa, Tavshin Pehe, as we back in our regular scheduled time. And we start off, again, with the first two big aliyos that we have here in Kisisa. Many, many different mitzvos in the first and the second aliyah, as we have the Cheta Egel. And let's start off with Shabbos. Start off with Shabbos, and that is towards the end of the first aliyah. We have the psukim of Vishamru v'nei Yisrael as a Shabbos. Says the Torah, Vishamru v'nei Yisrael as a Shabbos, la'asos as a Shabbos. But before that, I just want to focus on Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Yud Gimel, where the Torah tells us, Vayomar Hashem el Moshe le'mor, v'atot t'daber al b'nei Yisrael le'mor, ach ha'shabsosai tishmoru, keep my Shabbosos. Ki os hi b'nei v'neichem l'darosichem, Shabbos is an os, l'da'as ki ani Hashem mikadeshchem. So what is the double lashon of Shabbosai? Shabbosai, what is the double lashon? That's what we're going to focus on first from the Ksava Kabbalah, from the 1800s, and then from the Brisker Rav in the 1900s. Says the Ksava Kabbalah Rav Mecklenburg, Shabbosai tishmoru. He notes, well, even another question that we might ask, what's the double lashon of my Shabbosos? Shabbosai tishmoru, but then it switches to singular. Ki os hi b'nei v'neichem. So it's a double lashon of Shabbos, but it switches to os hi, that it is a singular in terms of, you know, it becomes a lashon yachid. So says the Ksava Kabbalah, source number one. Ba lashon yachid al rabim. So there's yachid and rabim. There's os hi, but it's Shabbosai. Ki tam Shabbosai ba'avur. Ki Shabbos hashanahim rabim. So there he goes to Ramban. Maybe it's just each Shabbos of the year. Each Shabbos of the year. The Shabbos HaShana. Keep each Shabbos. But says the Ksava Kabbalah, something special. Ulum fiyam avur b'shem Shabbos sheish pishnayim b'hora aso. There are two meanings. There are two messages of Shabbos. Of the word Shabbos. Of Shvisa. Ha'echad inyan habitol v'ha'hefzik mimalacha. Number one is cessation. Stoppage. Shvita in modern Hebrew is a strike, right? Shvisa, that's a stoppage, not doing what I do during the week. Not doing, being involved in the whole, in everything. So, cessation. But, secondly, v'hasheni inyan yishuv hadas l'inyanim elokiyim. Number two, though, is meditation. Something positive, something constructive. Not stopping to do something, but starting to do something. Number one, cessation. Number two, meditation in spiritual realms. Imkein yesh b'chol Shabbos v'Shabbos shtei shvisa. So every Shabbos really has two aspects, two levels. Shvisas haguf meyiska olam. Right? What do we say? Unplug to plug in. We unplug from our lives in order to plug in to Ruchnius and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the two words of the two meanings of Shabbos. Shvisas haguf meyiske olam. The cessation and stoppage from being involved in the world. V'shvisas v'yishuv hanefesh l'hisaseg b'inyanim ruchaniyim elokiyim. And the shalvas hanefesh, the serenity, that might be another way to translate the second type, the serenity of spirit in order to focus on ruchniyah, spiritual ideas. V'ein shvisas aguf levad ikr. And of course, part one aspect is not the ikr of what Shabbos is about. Right, we could take off from work and not have anything constructive and positive. V'tachlis ki amatzei d'shvisa Shabbos. That's not the goal. Ki amnam eino rak siba goremes el shvisas v'yishuv das hanefesh. Step one, Shabbos part one leads to Shabbos part two. You need the shvisa. Imagine if Hashem expected us to have a Shabbos and connect to our family and to be involved in spiritual pursuits when there was no isurim and there was no cessation. You know, once in a while we have a Shabbos type of meal and there might be phones on the table. Maybe a Purim meal. Maybe an Erev Yom Kippur meal. And it's a little strange and it's much harder to disconnect if we, you know, are, you know, still connected to our devices and connected to everything else in the world. Shabbos al yetzi yish b'mkomo. Step one is needed and then you get to step two. You need shvisa mi malacha. And hefzik mi malach in order to get to the yishuv hadas l'inyanim elokiyim. So says the Ksava Kabbalah. Vehi Ashvisa Hatachlit is Hamechubenes, and obviously step two is the goal. The Alze Ba Hazara Kanshap Sosei Tishmaru. That's the double Lashon. Keep my Shabbosos Yirtze Bechol Shabbos VeShabbos Tishmu Shtei Shvisos. Every Shabbos, keep two Shabboses. Every Shabbos. Step one and step two. Obviously, you have to do step one. But step, if I don't do step two, I'm missing the whole point. Shabbos is not just a day of don'ts, it's a day of do's. Shvisas haguf b'melechas maisa, number one. Shvisas hanefesh b'melechas avodas Hashem. So one's me, one's bit. Right? Shvisas haguf from, shvisas hanefesh in, involved in. V'lios sheshtei shabbosos eila ze laze kimisoveh min hasiba, v'lo yispardu. And since one really is the cause of the other one, as we just said, you can't have two, step two, shvisa two without having shvisa one. Ki be'emes achas hena. That's why it turns into singular. That's why after Shabsosai Tishmoru, right, we have Ki Osi. Melio Shashtesi Zelo. I read that. Hashvisa Harishona Hiyachana. Lavo El Tachlis Hashvisa Hamitis. The first one is to get to the ultimate Shvisa. Velachin Amar Akasub Al Shtayan Shehain Achas. Be'emes Lashin Yachid Ki Osi. And then he adds, maybe this is another interpretation of the Chazal of Masechta Shabbos. Ilu shamru Yisrael shtei shabbosos miyad nigalim. If Jews would keep, if we would have kept two shabbosos, we would get redeemed right away. So everyone asks, some Gersos only have one, but according to the Gersos, that's two. Why two? Just have one. No, it says like Sava Kabbalah, it's not two shabbosos. It's if we keep one complete Shabbos with all its aspects, if it both aspects. Ein kavanasam al shtei shvisos shabbosos bizmanim nifradim. It doesn't mean two shabbosos at different times with a week in between. Kim al shtei shvisos eile asher yislachdu velo yispardu biyom echad. These two shvisos that do not separate. Va'achas hinei be'emes beguf ubenefesh. So that is something that we could say over this Sava Kabbalah every single Shabbos of the year. Right? It's about Shabbos. It's about shtei shabbosos. It's something that we have to make sure that we do our best in terms of plugging, right, unplugging in order to plug in. That's really where he's going. The Briska Rav, the Griz, in source number two, has a different idea, but also about the two Shabbosos. Ach, Shabbosos, Dishmar, we might have mentioned this in the past, many years ago. Kiyosi ben Evanechem, Udareisechem, Lodaz, Ki Ani Hashem, Kadishchem, Ben Evanechem, Sili Olam, Ki Sheshi Yamim, Aso Hashem, Vegomer. So the Briska Rav is bothered by also the double Shabsosai, the switch to singular, and we will see the other points that he brings up. Also, two aspects, but not the two aspects that the Ksava Kabbalah has. He has two different aspects. Chada, Shabbos is, and we see it in Kiddush every Friday night. Chada, the Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim. Shehi Yesod, Libechiras, Ukedushas Yisrael. Number one is Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim, the mitzvah that we have every single day and night of our life. Ani Hashem Elokecham Asher Hotzeisi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. The mitzvah to remember that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and Shabbos, when we say it in Kiddush, Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. Kiddush Siv Asher Hotzeisi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Right, many discuss the tour, Tosfos and Arvei Psachim. How is Shabbos Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim? Right, the Yontif, as we know, are. How is Shabbos? Maybe we'll touch on that. V'ksiv amal eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim li'os lachem elokiv yisim kadoshim ki gadoshani. But the first, v'od kama makomo. So number one aspect of Shabbos is that Shabbos is zecher yetzias Mitzrayim, which is a uniquely bechiras Yisrael idea. Number one. V'zeo gamkin amar kan, ki osi b'nei v'nechem odaz ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. Right, the first half of the pasuk is relating to the Jewish people. Right? Shabbos, as we know, only Jews can keep Shabbos. Osi l'daz ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. But then there's a second element of Shabbos, right, which is mentioned in the Aseres HaDibros. V'shein is he zikar l'maisa b'reishis. Right, and that's the second half of what is said here. Kisheshis yamamaso Hashem. Right, in the second half of the pasuk, it relates to maisa b'reishis. Shabbos is obviously, we know, vayachulu is at the end of maisa b'reishis. V'zeo ha'osam merkan kisheshis yamamaso Hashem. So says the Griz. We know Shabbos is both zichel yetzias Mitzrayim and Shabbos is zichel maisa b'reishis. V'hine, ha'os harishon u'zechel yetzias Mitzrayim, bazel avdavka Shabbos b'reishis. Rak, gam kala mo'ados shavin bazel. Shabbos as part of zechel yetzias Mitzrayim, which again, there are ways how to understand Zeich Letzias Mitzrayim. Remember, there's a Tosfos in Arvei Pesachim that discusses Avodas Perech. Perech, he says, in the hard work that we did in Mitzrayim, Perech in Atbash, where Aleph switches with Tuf and Beis switches with the Shin, Perech is Vagal, Vav Gimel Lamed, which is Gematria 39. This is in Tosfos. Tosfos goes to Medrash, which teaches us that in Mitzrayim, they did the 39 Malachas. That's what the Mitzrayim made us do. So when we were redeemed from Mitzrayim and taken us out, that's how when Hashem gives us Shabbos, we don't do the 39 Malachas, and that's how Shabbos is Zecher, the Yetzias Mitzrayim. So there are other Peshatim as well. The Mefarshim on the tour discuss it. But that element, Shabbos being Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, Shabbos shares with all the other holidays. Because all the other holidays are for sure Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. To Kulu Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim Minhu. The Heinatz Manos. They're all putter from tefillin, as the Zohar quotes, that the Shulchan Aruch quotes. He doesn't quote it, but the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Yontif, Kulan Shabsos Hashem. All of the Yomim Tovim are really called the Shabbos in a sense. So, in this pasuk, the Shabsosai is including Yontif, says the Griz, and that's why it's plural. It's plural because it includes Shabbos and Yantif. Ulahachi gabi osarishom kizev shabsosai loshana kolo gan yamim tovim. Kibib vur barashi, quotes Rashi in Shvuas daf tezvav. Kulu shabsos ikru. Like the Rambam says also. Aval biha osasheni. The second one, that's zecher liyetzias Mitzrayim. That was the first one. But the second one, that is, zecher lemaisa bracious. So that one, That's only Shabbos, right? Yom Tov has nothing to do with Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis, and that's why the Osi LaOlam Kishesh Yisem Masa Hashem Esashmayim Vesa Aretz. So Shabbos also has two elements. What's the Shabbosai? So the Griz says it's meant to include Yom Tov. The Yom Tov is also Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim, just like the holidays are Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay, just to remind the Olam, to remind our chevra, many years ago, we quoted a Drash Moshe in Parshas Emor, a gorgeous Drash Moshe, if you want to look it up again, where he talks about Rashi at the beginning of the Parshas HaMoadim, there in Parshas Emor, quotes that we're introduced to the holidays, Eilam Moad Hashem, and then we have Shabbos. And then we have another Eilam Moad Hashem, and then we have the holidays, Pesach, Shavuos, V'chulu. And Rashi quotes Chazal, what's Shabbos doing there? Shabbos is not a Moed. What's Shabbos doing there? So the Rashi quotes, it's a package deal. If you're Mechala one, you're Mechala the other. You can't cap one without the other. So Moshe Feinstein, expanding on Rashi there, says, why? Because Shabbos is Hashem as the Bore, and Yontif is Hashem as the Manhig. And you can't just believe in one without the other. If I believe Hashem created the world, but he's not involved in the world continuously, Ad Yom Hazeh, until this moment, then why did he create the world? If he's not involved anymore. And if he is involved, but he didn't create the world, then how did it start? So Shabbos celebrates Hashem as the Bore. Yontif celebrates Hashem as the Manhig, the one that's involved. And that fits on dovetails with this Brisker Rav, relating to the two aspects. Shabbos shares one aspect with Yontif, right? The Zecher L'Maisa, the Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that has its own unique aspect of Zecher L'Maisa Bereishis. Because it has that second, the aspect of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, right, that's why it's uniquely to Jews, right? If it was only Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis, so then it would be shayach to all people. Okay. Continuing, one more thought about Shabbos from the Kedushas Levi, from a Levi Yitzchak, Mibarditchev. And he says it on Vishamru. And he's going to relate to the Chazal that the Ksava Kabbalah also mentioned as well. Vishamru of Israel is a Shabbos. Bo Yavur beGemara El Mali Sharmer Yisrael Shtei Shabbosos Beyond the Golan. Right, the Gemara that we quoted up above. If Jews we keep two Shabbosos, Geula Kihine Kisha Adam Shomer Shabbos Karoi VeNachon. Says the Kedushas Levi, when a Jew keeps a full complete Shabbos, Az Mizeh Shabbos Yishlo Chiyus VeShefa Al Kol HaShavua. I get spiritual strength and plenty from the Shabbos. I get a charge from Shabbos that takes me through the week. B'chdei la'avodas Hashem kol ha'shavua. You want to have a great week of avodas Hashem? Have a Shabbos prior to that. And that energizes me to go further. Even though you're right, the day after Shabbos is Yom Rishon, already looking ahead. But really, no, every Shabbos pushes, energizes. Ukshadam Ovid as Hashem, Kala Shavua, and then when a person takes that strength and motivation that he got from the last Shabbos and works the whole week on that high, Oz B'Shabbos Haba, Kal B'Yadol, Lishmar Karoi. So the following Shabbos is even easier to get into and to appreciate and to connect because I had a week that was full of spirituality and Avodas Hashem based on the previous Shabbos. V'chein la'olam yisna'ikach, and that continues forever. It continues every week, impacts the following Shabbos. Every Shabbos impacts the following week. V'yalpizeh yitureth akushya, shemakam acher. That's the question that we just dealt with before. Amru, ilu, shamri yisrael Shabbos echad, v'kan amr shei Shabbosos. Why? One Chazal says one Shabbos, one Chazal says two Shabbosos. Ki ha'ikru Shabbos echad. Says Kedusha Levi, it's really one Shabbos. U'kishashomer Shabbos echad, as Oved as Hashem, Beleitar Kala Shavua. But if I keep one Shabbos properly, then the whole week is going to impact me. Umachmazeh Kalu Lishmar Shabbos Sheni Karoi. Then the second one is going to be, impacted in that way. Venimsa. So when one Shabbos really means two Shabbosos. Meaning it's really infinite. But one Shabbos impacts the week, which impacts the following. Venimsa Ha'ikir Hi Shabbos Echad, Ki Al Yedei Shabbos Echad, Yishmar Shabbos Sheni Bekal. Right, mitzvah goeres mitzvah. Every experience influences the other. V'chein la'olam v'zeo haremez b'pasuk v'sharmu v'nei Yisrael sheyishmu Shabbos echad la'azos es haShabbos zeShabbos sheni. Keep a Shabbos in order to make the next one. The next one it will be easier. Sheshmir Shabbos sheni yavo lo bakal if you have the first one as well. So v'sharmu v'nei Yisrael zeShabbos. Keep the Shabbos la'azos haShabbos to make the next Shabbos spiritual because. The impact for during the week and for the following Shabbos, the spiritual high that hopefully we will take with us. Again, Motzei Shabbos, we definitely lose. We lose that Neshama Yisera. We all feel the Aruch HaShulchan has a beautiful Lashon where he says, we have Besamim because we're all sad from the Neshama Yisera. And even if you don't realize it, your Neshama realizes it. And your Neshama feels it. So we all hopefully feel a letdown, but we have to take the power of the Shabbos into the week with us. Okay. So now we get to the second aliyah, which of course is the Chet HaEgel. The Chet HaEgel, we've discussed so many times, different pshatim, what was exactly was the Chet, the Ramban, the Abarbanel, others. Let's focus on one word. One word. Perek Lamid Beis, Pasuk Zayin and Ches. Lamid Beis, Zayin and Ches. Vaydar Hashem HaMoshe. Lech Reid. Go down, kishiches amcha asher aleisem eretz Mitzrayim. Your nation has destroyed itself. Shiches amcha asher aleisem eretz Mitzrayim that you brought it from Mitzrayim. Saru maher min aderech asher tzivisem. This was supposed to be such a celebrative day, right? A day that Moshe Rabbeinu, if they would have waited a couple more hours to come down with the luchos, it would have been unbelievable. But instead, it turned into one of the most tragic days in Jewish history. They turned. And they bowed down to it. Just to remember a Bnei Yisachar that we discussed a couple years ago, right here in his Sefer on Chumash. Saru Maheri points out there's only two psukim in the entire Torah that start with a samach. Only two psukim. This one, Saru Maher, and one other, Parsha Shlach. Right, one's by the Egel, one's by the Meraglim. Slachna lavan amazeko dachazdecha. Slachna. Only two. Why those two psukim? So he says Saru Maher. So, samach is a circle. Like, you can't get out of a circle. Sometimes we feel we're in a cycle of chait that we can't get out of it. We're just falling and making mistakes. So, we're in a circle of going down. Slach na la'avon hazeh. Hashem's rachamim and compassion and forgiveness is also infinite. And it's a cycle that never stops. Right? And that's why the two psukim that start with a samach says the, Igret the Kala, that's the Bnei Yisachar and Chumash, Saru Maher, and slachna. But we're going to focus on the second word this year, and that is maher. What's the maher? What's the emphasis, Hashem says? They went quickly. Sorrow maher, says the Apirion. Remember the Apirion? The author of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, of Shlomo Gansfried, in his Sefer on Chumash. Nira, he says here in source number 4. Ki hine amru chazal, kach darko shel yetzahara. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us that the yetzahara goes slowly. He goes slowly. He knows he can't get us all at once. Hayom, omer lo asei kach. Today he'll say, You could come a little late. It's okay. And then he'll say, you did shachris. What did I do mincha for? Right, a little by little. Step by step by step until we're lost. V'nire mitzad ha-svara, says the Aperion, it appears to me, logically, mitzad ha-svara, ki zehu eino ela imbala hases es Yisrael. When does the Yetzer Hara have to go little by little and step by step? That's only Am Yisrael. Asher no lad Yisrael v'nizkada b'daki Yisraelim. Somebody who had a proper Torah education, somebody who grew up as an Oved Hashem. So to get us to fall, and even if we're, you know, we've moved and we're not perfect, he says, mitzad ha-svara, it would have to be step by step. Le'ish hazeh, im yavo ha-yetzahara la'asiso, miyad la'avod avod azara. Somebody comes and says, avod azara, vade lo yovev le'ishmalo. Of course we're not going to listen. Avod azara? Right? Eat not kosher? Well, what are you talking about? You have to go little by little. Yeah, you don't have to have the highest hashgacha. It's okay. No, it's look at the ingredients, right? Little by little. So until we get to the bottom. But if somebody has an idolater or somebody who grew up with non-Jewish values, right, like a Mitzri. Right, the values, the Ervas Haaretz, v'gamu ba'atzma, haya Oved Avod Azara kol yamav, rak sha'achar, nizgar v'pesh Avod Azara, but they changed. They changed and they've recently weaned themselves from that lifestyle. So if it's recent and it was a weaning, it's not natural and very easily they might fall. L'ish kazan, the Yetzirah doesn't have to like go little by little. Nakala Yetzirah la'sito miyad la'shuvu makomu l'darko. He could quickly go get him. It was just yesterday. Says the Aperion, that's what's going on here. Read the Psukim. What does Hashem say? Rashi already picks up on this. The name of Chazal. Moshe, go down. Kishiches amcha, your am. Who's Moshe's am? Remember Rashi? Erev Rav. It was the Mitzriim that Moshe decided to take with because they wanted to come. And Moshe says, okay, it's a good idea. We'll be Makar of them. But they were Mashpi. And according to Rashi, they were the source of the Egel HaZahav, right? They were the source. Kamosha Pirish Mashi, Shiches Ha'am lo nemer ela amcha, Erev Rav, Shekibalta me'atzmacha vigiartem, that nation v'lo nimlachta bi. You didn't ask me, v'yamarta tov sheyidbiku gerim b'shchina, heim shichlu v'shchisu. So it's their fault, Shiches Amcha, Moshe already knew before he even went down. Shiches Amcha, what's Hashem's proof? Saru maher. It was quick, right? For Am Yisrael, it wouldn't have happened so quickly, right? To go from Igra Rama Labira Mikta, to go from the highest of the high on Har Sinai, to go all the way down to where they went, where they fell at Chet Egel, you know, that's not. V'ilu Yisraelim Gemurim lo haya biyacholes la'yetzahara la'hasis osam. Lasur maher v'la'avod azeh rak mi madrega l'madrega. Right? Rak mi madrega l'madrega. K'sas mizah shamati v'osafti. So that's the Aperion. That part of this is about, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu and the Erev Rav, and why it was in Maher, because only someone with the Mitzri value background, excuse me, could fall so quick. Okay. Let's move right along to the Shviras Haluchos and a fundamental major thesis from Reb Blumenzweig here in V'Halachti B'Sochachem. Again, the Rosh Yeshiva Emeritus of Yeshivat Yerucham. Says Reb Blumenzweig here in source number 5, again, he quotes the Psukim, Shiches Amcha Sher HaLeisa. The Atar, remember the conversation. Remember the conversation. Hashem says to Moshe, leave me alone, and I'm going to destroy them and make a new nation out of you. And Rashi already picks up, leave me alone. Moshe hadn't started saying anything yet. That left open the possibility that Hashem was saying, you know, try me, right? By saying, leave me alone. Don't try to convince me. Our Moshe didn't even start. So, Hanichali, but Hashem wanted to destroy the Jewish people, Am Yisrael, and build a new nation for Moshe. And Moshe was not interested in that. Vayachal Moshe, espe Hashem alokav, right? The Inyana Dioma, we're going to lay that tomorrow. Vayomar Hashem, lacham lacha yecherachab chal yamecha. Why are you getting angry? at your nation, right? Hashem, Moshe says, your nation, Hashem, you're saying to destroy everybody, but your nation. So it says in Eretz Mitzrayim, b'chol akadol. So, chet ha'egel movil shviras haluchos, the egel led to the breaking of the luchos. Shviras haluchos bide Moshe nir'eis kebitui li'i hayecholas litzor mifgash b'mitzias poguma. Right, what is the breaking of the luchos? It reflects and it seems like an expression of the inability to deal with, to create a meeting with God based on a blemished reality. Be'ikvos chet ha'egel. Right? These Jews are so wayward and down, forget it. Just the whole thing should be done. There's no possibility of connection. Kasher Moshe Yurei Menahar, V'roas Matzavo Shel Am Yisrael, Hu Mevin Shelo Yachol Eskayem Chibur Ben Am Ben HaTorah. He realizes these luchos, there is an impossibility to give them. He realizes there cannot be a chibur. So he breaks the luchos. Kaviyachol Zesof HaDerech. On the surface, it looks like that's it. That's the end. Moshe didn't know there was going to be a second luchos. They didn't know. He had no idea. But he realizes this cannot be. So he shatters the luchos. Done. End of the whole plan. And that's pretty depressing. And then how did Moshe even do it? What did Moshe think what was going to happen? Ulam Yitachen, says Rav Blumenzweig. Ki Ashvir Romezes Gamlin Yachir, there's something else going on here. There's something very deep. As Hashem said, what should have been the outcome and the punishment? Destruction of the Jewish people. Kach Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. Leave me alone, v'yicharapi mehem, v'achalei v'oseus chol goy gadol. What does Moshe do? Before he gets forgiveness. Right? Before he gets complete forgiveness. Right? Hashem, I mean, he does get some. Right? Hashem says to Moshe, I'm going to destroy them. Vayachal Moshe, that's where Vayachal is. Why are you getting angry at them? Right? It's going to be a chil Hashem. Shuv mecharon apecha. Remember the avos. Right? Those are his two claims. Right? It's going to be a chil Hashem. People are going to think that you're not powerful enough. And what about the avos? Hashem says, fine, I'm not going to destroy them. Then Moshe goes down. And what does Moshe do? Bimakom, line 11. L'chalos es am Yisrael, Moshe shover es aluchos. Instead of destroying the people, Moshe breaks the luchos. What does that mean? That does not mean that it's so faderach. We think it's the end, it's done. No, just the opposite. Just the opposite. If the Jews would have been destroyed, like Hashem's original plan, so to speak, that would have been the end. Moshe says, there's another way. There's another way. B'maisa zet muna amira. With this act of breaking the luchos is hidden a statement. Gam im hafgash nimna, b'nei Yisrael lo yishmadu. Even if right now, in this present reality, and I have no idea how it's going to change, but even in this present reality, there could be no connection between the Jews and Elokus, sh'arei HaKadosh Baruch Hu baram kedei she'yiyeh imo, b'nei Yisrael are not going to be destroyed. Right? That's the key. I'll break the luchos, I won't break the Jewish people. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu did with his act. Turning the page for a second. Im ein brera haluchos heim sheishabru velo ha'am on the right side. Moshe mevin, Moshe understands she'i efshar losis Torah la'am Yisrael achrei te'egel. He understands this reality can't exist. This Torah and this nation cannot live together under the same roof. Ki ein kiyam la'am Yisrael u'l'Torah yachav ma'atzav kazeh. They can't, right? This is etzpe elokim, these luchos, and that can't connect with a pagum people. Ach benigud, and now pagum, not inherently, but somewhat. Ach benigud lepitaron shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki lo en l'am Yisrael. But instead of Hashem's suggestion, let me destroy the Jews and start with you. No. Destroy the luchos and start with them. And that was the godless of Moshe Rabbeinu's act. And he doesn't quote it, but what does the Chazal say only once? Only once in all of Chazal where Hashem gives a shkayach. Hashem gives a shkoyach to Moshe, yasher kochacha sheshibarta. Shkoyach. And maybe that's what Hashem really wanted by saying hanichali. He just wanted the first great leader of the Jewish people to act that way. Hu bocher b'pitron acher, shviras ha'aluchos, ma'adifu levater al ha'torah, u'bavacha am Yisrael Yosef liskayim. Wow. Minei ubei, Kivan shebnei Yisrael mamshicha l'skayim, and if the Jews continue to exist, Hashem will have to figure something out. Moshe kind of said, I don't know what's going to be, but I'm destroying this Torah. I'll hope for the best. Sometimes, you know, you have to go with the right now, what's what the reality needs. Yishkan Pesach l'tikan ha'tshuva. Moshe mispala al Am Yisrael. Horeg asachotim. Am Yisrael makirim b'chet misablim. V'kadosh Baruch Hu soleach. This was Moshe's plan. Let's get to a state where we could, like, come to another chapter. Ha'metzias nimshaches im pagam ha'egal zayim matzui bo. So yes, the story continues, and with every punishment in history, there's some punishment from the Egel, as Chazal say, Ach imzos yishkim l'am Yisrael, but along with that, we are the Am. Just parenthetically, the same exact idea that Rav Blumenzweig says here about Moshe Rabbeinu bringing the Luchos instead of the destruction of Bnei Yisrael, we've mentioned in the past, Rav Soloveitchik has the same exact idea regarding Churban. Remember, Churban and Bnei Yisrael. And he says, based on the Medrash, right, Rashi and Tosfos quote the Medrash in Kiddushin around Daf Lamed Aleph, that Hashem took his anger out on the Eitzim and the Avanim. Right? And that's a positive. Why? Because even until the very last moment, Rav Soloveitchik explained, nobody knew what was going to happen. Was Hashem going to punish those who were deserving of punishment? Right? But the Jewish people? We were Ovdei Avodah Zarah and Sinas Chinam? Or was he going to take a mashkon? Take something different. And he broke the Mishkan. He took his anger out on the Mikdash instead of on Bnei Yisrael. Maybe he didn't learn that, but it's a parallel modeled behavior of what Moshe Rabbeinu did by the Luchos. And just one or two other points that he says, Michtav Elokim, Paluchos Mais Elokim Hema, Michtav Elokim Hema, right? And a number of Mepharshim wonder this descriptive pasuk about the Luchos. How unique the Luchos were, it's dafka right before Moshe breaks them. Like, why didn't it say it earlier? It describes the Luchos here. Right? Why dafka now? Right? Ain't him afiyah based Messiah's Dorla Moshe Bahar. It wasn't in Yisro and Mishpatim. It's dafka here when Moshe is breaking them. Why? Because this is part of the element showing why Moshe had to do this. The Luchos are in such a heavenly sphere, but you see how even with this, Moshe broke it. On the surface, it's to make greater the question on Moshe. Shehe is lishboras haluchos. He broke these gorgeous luchos. Avshe yimaisa elokim. The answer is no. It clarifies and magnifies why Moshe had to do it. Because the people weren't shayach to have a connection with these luchos. And therefore, he had to break them. But again, it was a choice of Hashem. Figure something out. Mishenu Mavin Shaluchos Ein Michon Linasim Lisrob Mitzias Kazos. Line 22. Whoever doesn't understand that the Luchos cannot be given to Am Yisrael in this state, O Sheinenu Mavin is called Haluchos. Either you don't understand the Galus of the Luchos, or you don't understand the Pagam of the Chet of the Egel. One of those two, but they can't connect. And Moshe knew it, and that's why Moshe had acted as he acted. Just skipping a little bit, we're not going to read the whole thing. Feel free to do it. He discusses how, in the next page, in source number 7, how Para Aduma gives, actually we'll skip that part, feel free to read that, just read the last part. He discusses how even Galus is a terrible Chil Hashem. Galus, we were exiled for 2,000 years, but it's also a Kiddush Hashem, because it shows that Hashem did not get rid of us. He just moved us. And there's going to come a time when we're going to come back, and that's reflected by the Shir HaLuchos. Okay. Oh, a thought that I think I've mentioned, this is the thought from Rav Soloveitchik that's mentioned in many different places. I gave it to you from the Birchas Yitzchak Rabbi Ganach Sefer, but it's even more developed in the Mesoras HaRav in the English in source number 10. So we'll just go to source number 10. And that is, we know there are two different Midrashim. So if you want to look in the source number 8 to see the first original in the Midrashim, and then we'll see. So number 1 says Rabbi Ganach here, he quotes on line 3. Rashi in Zos HaBracha says, as we usually understand it, that Moshe broke the luchos, right? Shenisao libo lishbar haluchos le'enehem va'ashabrem le'enehem. He broke the luchos. V'hiskima das HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'dayto, and Hashem was maskim, as I quoted before. Asher shibarta, yashkocha asher shibarta. Moshe broke them. But there's a yalkut in this week's parsha. The yalkut says, Nistakel Moshe beluchos v'rah haksav shebehen shepareach. The letters flew off the luchos, which means that the empty spaces where the letters were filled up, the luchos got very heavy. The kvedo, they are Moshe v'naflu miyadav v'nishtabru. They fell out of Moshe's hands. They fell out. They became so heavy that, you know, they fell out. Two different versions. It says Rav Soloveitchik, see on line 12, an interesting observation. Now you have this in source number 10. An interesting observation can be made about this latter version. If in the version of they were too heavy. In preparation for presenting the second set of luchos, right later on in the parsha, well, we have the Moshe Rabbeinu going up to receive. He brings up the luchos, the rocks, and they're gonna carve it. Psalach Hashem luchos on Karishonim. The chasati Hashem's gonna write it. Ala luchos. 1 second. Those weren't so heavy. Those should have been even heavier, or at least as equally heavy. So why is it that when Moshe Rabbeinu here, they fell out of his hands, they were too heavy, while later on in the parsha, they weren't so heavy. And Rav Soloveitchik notes, going up a mountain is even harder than going down a mountain. See, they were too heavy for him when he was going down, but they weren't too heavy going up. And how do you put that together? Line 16. Carrying these two stones up the mountain presented no difficulty for Moshe. Yet according to Yalkut Shimoni's version of events, when Moshe first descended the mountain, the tablets proved too heavy for him. While simple physics would suggest that climbing a mountain with a heavy load is more difficult than descending with the same load, the Torah's account disagrees with physics in this detail. Right? Going up was easier than going down. Why? Why was it easier for Moshe to go up the mountain at the end of the parsha than to go down the mountain at the beginning of the parsha? So says Rav Soloveitchik, using words that his grandfather made famous. Again, if we knew all of Shas, we would know that the Gemara Nedarim Daf Beis uses the words Chefsa and Gavra, right? Object and person. But obviously Rav Chaim Soloveitchik made those famous, but here Rav Soloveitchik says man himself could be a Chefsa or a Gavra. Man could be an object. Man could be a subject. Man could exist in one of two states, as object or as subject, as one who acts or as one who is acted upon. If, for example, a person climbs a mountain, concentrating on the difficult task at hand, straining to maintain his footing, as he reaches higher and higher, he acts as a gavra, as a subject. When I have something to accomplish, and I have a dream and a goal, I push myself. Sometimes it's easier to get out of bed in the morning when we have something specific that we have to accomplish that day. If it's just like stam a day and a regular, like, okay. If you have a specific project, you have something to do, so active. But if suddenly, first he gives the physical mashal. If suddenly by loosening a rock upon which he is balanced, he loses his footing and falls into the abyss, the gavra is transformed into a chefza, an object. All of a sudden, we are being acted upon, and we are not acting. A person acts as a gavra as long as he continues. Says Rav Soloveitchik, when Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem, Saru Maher, and he's told that his nation has fallen, and he's going down the mountain, depressed, pained, difficult, Moshe, the greatest gavra in history, was changed into a chefza. And when I'm in that state, I can't carry anything. And I'm just weak, and I'm not motivated, v'chul. But then Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of the parsha, Hashem says, come on back up. Psalacha, shnei luchos harishon, karishon v'chasafti aluchos, come on up! Moshe Rabbeinu is getting a second chance. Moshe Rabbeinu is told by Hashem, come on up! I'm on my way. You don't have to say it twice. Moshe was an ascender when as Gavra, line 32, filled with love for the Creator, he pined for confirmation of God's forgiveness towards his people. In this role, Moshe could overcome all psychological and physical obstacles, and in the cold wind of morning, Soloveitchik is always so illustrative in his describing biblical events. In the cold of morning, he climbed the mountain to meet the master of the universe. Moshe, in this guise, was capable of carrying not only the two tablets, but the entire world on his shoulders. But after Moshe had climbed the mountain the first time, at what should have been his moment of triumph, the sinning nation defeated him. God's voice thundered, right? I only gave you greatness for Am Yisrael. Moshe's defeat came at the hands of the iniquitous nation under his charge. An unbearable force was unleashed, propelling him downward until he could no longer hold the luchos. Gavr chefsa. In life, sometimes we're chefsas. Sometimes there are things that take place out of our control, and we are acted upon, and that's the whims of life and reality, and we are human beings, and we are finite, and we are subject to the elements. But we are also gavras, and we have bechir chafshis, and we could act, and we could accomplish, and we could dream, and that is what we have to do, and that's what we learn from the two depictions of Moshe Rabbi. Good. Moving right along, so after Moshe Rabbeinu comes down, actually before the second Luchos, remember Moshe gets forgiveness. Moshe gets forgiveness, the Am's not going to be destroyed. Then Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem, you said you're not coming with us, you said the Malach, no, I don't want a Malach, I want you. Hashem says, fine. So Moshe had a thing going here. He's like, okay, Hashem's saying yes. So he goes for the gold. What does he say? Hareini naz kvodecha. Explain to me everything in the world. Show me. Hareini naz kvodecha. Show me your covet. Show me your covet. Exactly what is the question? The Gemara has a suggestion. Hareini naz kvodecha. Rashi, source number 11. Ra Moshe shayes ratzon udvar mukubalim behosef lishol laharoso maris kvoda. Vishamati Rabbeinu HaKadosh, he quotes from one of the Rabbani Agers, Milublin. Shadiyek. Hala Moshe Rabbeinu. Remember, the Likudi Yeshua is quoting this. Likudi Yeshua was Rabbi Yeshua Sheinfeld, who learned in Lublin 120 years ago. Even less. So he says, Moshe Rabbeinu haya anav ma'od. Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble in history. Fakasiv me'ed alav ish Moshe anav ma'od mikal ha'adam ha'shem p'nei adamah. Moshe was the most humble. He has the goal to ask Hashem, show me everything. He's a nanav. Who does he think he is? Hech yola harhiv benafsho oz lishol me Hashem yisbarach sheyaralo es kvodo. Right? How does he have the spiritual stamina or the fortitude, the inner fortitude to ask this? This is Moshe. Moshe's anav mikal adam. The Amar Zal, and the answer he quotes is, Moshe's not asking, you know, I'm so great, show me your greatness. That's not what he's asking. Moshe is saying to Hashem, I don't understand. You allowed me to be on Har Sinai. You allowed me, like what kind of, how do I give you such covet? I don't think I'm so great. Show me your covet that you get from me. That's really what Moshe is asking. Moshe cannot imagine shu yachol ligrom kavod v'lasod nachas ruach l'v'yakadosh baruch. He can't imagine that he brings such nachas to Hashem. Al ze ana lo Hashem yizbarach. Anochi avir kol tuvi apanecha. Now I'm going to pass by you. You're going to go into a crack. Everybody is going to see how you're the only one that gets close to me. And you see how great you are, Moshe. She is galel la'in kol marav tuvcha v'akavod v'hayakar. Moshe couldn't believe that Hashem is so happy with what he does, and Hashem is going to show him, I am so happy. Right? You give me such covet, you are the ultimate Eved Hashem. Right? We know Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of the Torah is called Eved Hashem. Also at the beginning of Yeshua, he's called Eved Hashem. The Radak in the first parak in Yeshua says, what does an Eved Hashem mean? Somebody whose whole essence is geared towards Avodas Hashem. That's what an Eved Hashem is. Every part of his abilities. And that's what we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. Eved Hashem. And that's what he was asking, according to the Likutei Yehoshua. Okay, one thought in Yoni Purim. Right here, the shir will be given on Leil Tainis Esther. Purim tomorrow night. Kisisa generally is somehow connected, usually connected, unless it's Shana Muber. So Rav Rimon, in his Purim Sefer, discusses the Yerushalmi. Right? We paskin. The Bavli also, but... We pass it, as we know, the walled cities that read it on Tezvav, which this year is a special year per Mishulish for walled the cities for Yerushalayim, where they split it up over 3 days. You go from walled cities from the times of Yeshua bin Nun. Machlokas Tanoim, Megillat Avbeis. But you go from the times of Yeshua bin Nun. And the question is, what exactly is the reason that walled cities are determined by if they had a wall in the days of Yeshua bin Nun, hundreds of years before the Purim story? You should go by walled cities in the days of Achashverosh. So the Yerushalmi, beginning of Megillah, says what it says. You want to give covet to Eretz Yisrael. Rav Rimon here has a different factor, a different shot. There's a connection between Yehoshua bin Nun and Mordechai. And we want to connect the two. Yehoshua and Mordechai nilchamu shneim ba'amalek. They both fought Amalek. Yehoshua fought Amalek in B'shalach. Mordechai fought Amalek in the Megillah. U'bishnei ha'mikrim ha'isazu ha'shkachas Hashem b'toch mezgeres tivis sheviyah l'nisachon v'atzala. In both Purim famously, but even Yehoshua, he fought a war. He fought a war. Okay, the sun might have stopped, but he fought a war. Ulam l'mochemes Yehoshua b'amalek b'nigol l'mavako shel Mordechai nislav sagam ochach l'kach. Yes, Yehoshua, in Yehoshua's battle, there was clarity that was coming from God. Why? Because what did the Pasuk say? When Moshe held up his hands, they won. Moshe, and what does that mean? When Bnei Yisrael were looking up and they won. And not looking up, they lost. Yehoshua who's Zeshem Alami, but Yeshua's teaching us with that war that every Teva war is really with the help of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gam nitzachon tivi tali baratzon Hashem ubhis arvuso. Mordechai the Esther's victory, mu'ar be'or acher be'ikvas mechamas Yeshua. The Purim story has to be seen with the background of the first time that the Jews fought Amalek. And just like when the Jews fought Amalek, Moshe's hands were up and down, so too in the Purim story, right? When they did tshuva for 3 days and, right? That's the niflos. That's the connection between Mordechai and Yeshua. They both fought Amalek. They both did it b'derech ha-teva, and just like Yehoshua's teva, though, had a clear marking of Yad Hashem, so too the later one. But then he says another idea, another Mechaneh Meshutaf on line 21, between Yehoshua and Mordechai. They are both, Amalek is all about, as we know, Rashi quotes and emphasizes, Asher Karcha b'derech, they are about Mikre. They're about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's not in charge. Right? Anti-Hashgacha nation. That's Amalek. Yehoshua and Mordechai are both descendants of Yosef. Both Yosef. Yehoshua from Ephraim and Mordechai from Binyamin. They're from Yosef and Binyamin. Right? So Yosef and Binyamin. Yehoshua from Ephraim, which is Yosef, and Mordechai is Yemini Binyamin. Yosef hu ha antitaza shel Amalek. Yosef hu achash b'chol makam es himatzes Hashem. Yosef always recognizes that Hashem is with him. Umadgish b'kol es damnutz shehashem hu zeh shemovil sirurim ativiyim. Remember, Yosef's in the jail. Hashem does it. Yosef's in the interpreting dreams in front of Paro. Right? It's all up to Hashem. Asher hu oseh Hashem atzliach. Halo Elokim pitronim. Biladai Elokim yaneh shelom par. All the psukim. Yosef keeps invoking and invoking Hashem. Gam tzeso shel Yosef etzeso achiv. Right? The descendants of Yosef and Binyamin, suggests Rav Rimon, they're mamshichim kavzev and ochamim b'amalek, they continue fighting Amalek. Right? Like Yosef, remember this, when they came back, also Rashi quotes, when Yosef was born, that's when they were able to come back to fight Esav, which is an ancestor. So maybe they have that connection as well. Right? They are connected to Yosef and Binyamin, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind the scenes, and against Amalek, which is all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not involved. Yosef said he's always involved. Yosef, which is obviously from Yoshua, but he connects Yosef and Binyamin. You have to do the research where if Binyamin has that too. But this is, Purim is all about obviously seeing the Yad Hashem in the Purim story and in our lives as well. As we've quoted in the past, the vort of Akoy Lamafriya Lo Yotze. If we read the Megillah backwards, we're not Yotze. But that also can mean Lamafriya. If we read the Megillah as if it's a story of old and it has no relevance and pertinence to my life today, Lo Yotze. You didn't get the message. Because the message of Purim is about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in our life every single day. He's helping us. He's partnering with us. Hashem, we should be Zoche. This Purim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring us Yeshuos and Nechamos and Geulos and Nisim. Kasher asis lavoseinu, bayamim ahem, bizman hazeh. Okay, we'll stop here.